This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I'm 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look." And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Welcome to Pantsuit Politics, where a woman from the right
and a woman from the left accessorize the news with a fresh perspective. This is Sarah Holland from the left
and Beth Silvers from the right.
Welcome to another episode of Pantsuit Politics. This is our special Friday episode that we call The Briefcase, where we tackle listener feedback. And in today's episode, I have some apologizing to do. And we also send you into the weekend with a focus on one or two news stories. And of course, today we're going to be tackling the Iowa caucus. But before we get started, we'd just like to remind everybody, please sign up for our email. Beth sent out some special, unique content this week that was really great. The sign-up form is on the top of our Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can click those and sign up. And as always, please rate us on iTunes. It helps other people find Pantsuit Politics. So, are we ready to dive into Friday feedback, Beth?
I think so. And I mean, there's been a lot this week. It's been
there really has.
Great. And also a challenge to keep up with, but keep it coming. And thank you for your patience with us.
Yeah, we try to respond to every message and on Twitter and Facebook, but you guys are prolific in your messaging, and there's just two of us. So we're doing the best we can. We appreciate any patience if it takes a while for us to get back to you.
But please keep it coming. We love it. And we will get there. And just give us a little time.
So I have some apologizing to do. I lost my nuance, in the last episode talking about Bernie and Hillary. And if it's any consolation, I've really lost my nuance about this in real life, in all areas of my life. I have a friend who's a Bernie supporter, and he like kind of sends me little things every once in a while. And he's like, what? No response today? And I said, look, I have had to stop. It was not good for my mental health, how much time I was spending defending my girl on Facebook and Twitter. So it's just, it's such a highly emotional thing for me that I've really had to dial it back some. But we had two listeners that I really appreciate, again, always giving us the benefit of the doubt. They wrote in and were like, hey, you were a little harsh with the Bernie supporters. Kristen sent us an email, and I really, really appreciated what she said. She was talking about Hillary, and this was her first election, and she said, I cannot possibly understand how that felt, no matter how many people emphatically talk to me about it. She's talking about Hillary losing the primary last time. And I really appreciated that. And I feel like that's one of the first times I've ever heard somebody say that, like, especially somebody young that maybe wasn't involved in that election, and especially a woman. It meant a lot to me that she said, hey, I know that was hard. I don't know how that feels, and I won't, but I appreciate that it was hard. It really meant a lot to me. So thank you, Kristen. And Shane also wrote in and was really nice about, I don't think you're really giving a fair time to the Bernie supporters. And they're both probably a little bit right.
Well, I think that you are very passionate about this. You know, we've discussed that before. I did really, I mean, these were both extremely thoughtful emails.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that, you know, and this is where I've been struggling with Donald Trump. You know, we talked about this in the last Friday feedback, because I've been trying to give a little bit more credence to sort of what lies beneath the Trump movement. And both Kristen and Shane pointed out, like, we are not like Trump supporters, which, mm-hmm. you know, fair.
Yeah, I actually really don't think it's fair when people are like, they kind of lump them. They'll be like, oh, you know that, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie supporters. And I'm like, I understand where on the surface they can appear like similar things, like this sort of outsider challenging the establishment system. I really feel strongly they're not similar, though, when you come down to the actual supporters.
What I think is the similarity is just that people who are pretty entrenched with a more traditional candidate struggle to understand the pull of these two. Well, or they understand the pull and they say, yeah, but that's a fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I think
that's
really,
where it's dismissive a little bit.
In particular with Kristen's email, she talked about how this is her first first time voting in an election. And I listened to a podcast with him the other day, and I was really thinking back. So I'm going to show my age just a little bit. But I was a Howard Dean supporter, like a pretty passionate Howard Dean supporter. And I remember that feeling. I really do. I remember feeling like, this guy's it. This guy's our chance. This guy's really going to make, he's going to change things. He's going to, you know, repave the road and rewrite the map, and we're just going to end up in a whole new place. Like, I really, really understand that feeling and that connection to a candidate on that level. And it's just, and I really do hate myself for this, because I hated it when my parents did and still do kind of say, like, ugh, been there, done that kind of situation. But I feel a little bit like that. Like, I understand it, but like, it's not, that's what's so frustrating to me, is the idea that like Bernie is something new. He's special and I like Bernie, but what he's offering, I really don't feel like is that new. Like, this kind of challenging the establishment of the party candidate, like this kind of mold he's in, is just not revolutionary in that historically, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I think the Republican parallel, not to, again, make them equal, is I think the people supporting Donald Trump also want a political revolution. They just don't phrase it that way. I think it's more like, this whole thing is a mess. I mean, I think they also believe the system is rigged. Money is too influential. This revolving door from Wall Street to K Street is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so the Bernie people say, so let's fix it and let's make it what it's supposed to be about, and let's change it to be for the advantage of all Americans. And I think the Donald Trump people say, so screw it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring in somebody who is unlike anything the town's ever seen, and I don't know exactly what will happen, and I don't care, because it can't be worse than this.
It's a little bit burn it to the ground. I mean, yeah. I know that Bernie supporters are the ones supposed to feel in the burn, but it really feels like that Trump supporters are just burn it. Just forget it.
And you know, you and I don't subscribe to either one of those things, mm-mm. but I do think we are trying to understand them and learn what we can learn from them all the time. And it's just going to be hard for you with anybody opposing
you
Hillary
so
Clinton.
Much,
it's just going to be hard.
It's just hard right now. I'm just struggling so bad. I get so defensive. I feel like people, in particular, the Elizabeth Warren thing is my new, like, I can't. I like Elizabeth Warren too, but she hasn't been in the public eye for 20 years. Of course she seems perfect. Like, give her a good round in the media and they'll find stuff and make her paint her certain ways. And it's just... oh, it's just so exhausting to me. And I think that, you know, back in our transy days, I remember we had two professors that kind of like wore it out. And we had one political science professor that was really outside the system. You got to be outside the system. You got to be an activist. That's the only way change comes. And then we had another political science professor that was like, change only comes when you get inside the system. And I started out outside the system when I was younger. And I would like protest in Old Navy and all these things. And now I'm a total inside the system kind of girl. Like, I don't even remember thinking when I supported Howard Dean, how is he going to get any of this done? You know, like, I just didn't even think that, you know, like it didn't even occur to me. I loved his rhetoric. I loved what he was promising. And I was like, yeah, let's follow this guy. Let's do this. And I think really watching Obama and the struggles he's had really changed how I feel about this, the big promises, just, you know. It was so exciting when he came to office, and it's not that he hasn't made big changes, but I mean, I just think we see that a big part of the country is not on board with these progressive changes, and they're not going anywhere, and they shouldn't have to. Like, they should be heard, and it's a democracy, you know? I don't know. It's frustrating.
Well, to give a little bit more due time to Bernie Sanders supporters, I don't think this is exactly what Kristen was saying, but here's my perspective on it. Especially looking at the Obama administration, you realize that, yes, the president cannot get a lot done, really. You know, that's mm-hmm. just not the role of the president to get things done. It's the role of the Congress to get things done. The president sets a tone. And, you know, I think there are people who feel that President Obama has set a very positive tone around some issues. I would argue that he has set a rather negative tone around other issues. Mm-hmm. I give him credit for some of those positives too, but that's, the president is a leader, not the be all and end all. And so if I'm someone who's supporting Bernie Sanders, I can see saying, yeah, probably not all of this is going to happen. Maybe not much of it's going to happen, but it's the tone that I want set. And the tone matters, and he can put pressure on Congress to act in certain ways, and he can use executive authority in other ways, and it'll be progress in the direction that I want to see progress, and more importantly, it will be a revolutionary tone from the White House instead of what feels from Hillary Clinton like more of the same and like something I've seen and felt before. And I know that that's pushing all your buttons, and I'm sorry, you know, but I get that perspective. I completely understand that perspective. And I thought that was highlighted pretty effectively by both candidates in the town hall that happened this week. Mm-hmm. That was such a great format for both of them. They both were much more appealing. And, you know, I sat there as a Republican watching it thinking they both seem so much stronger here. They seem more relatable. They seem more relaxed. I feel like I'm getting to know them better than I get to know them when they're like yelling into microphones at these rallies. It certainly put into sharp focus for me why I am a Republican and where my differences are with them in terms of policy. But it was nice to have some moments that were truly about policy, and also nice to see them both as the people they are. And my husband and I talked a lot. He did not fall asleep during this one. And we talked a lot during it about the real significant personality differences of these two and how they could understandably appeal to different people. So I get it. And I think we're always going to upset someone. You know, we had somebody very hostile with me about about the fact that I like Chris Christie. Mm. That's going to happen when you're talking about politics. But I think that it's a fair point to say that we've been more dismissive of Bernie Sanders than he deserves.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I told somebody, you know, I just have so many patronizing Bernie bros that talk to me. And sometimes when I'm talking about Bernie, I just see their faces in my head. So I lose all my nuance. But one listener, I wish I could remember who it was, said something really great about, I've just realized that the president doesn't really lead the charge. So much of what the president does is respond to things that are happening. And I think that's always an important thing to think about. And I thought that was such an insightful thing to say and a really good way to put it and really true, I think, that, you know, the president doesn't really lead the revolution. The president responds to the revolutions that are happening in front of him on the street. You know what I mean? And I thought that or she, see, look what I just did there. He or she. So I thought that was a really good point and an interesting kind of thought process to apply to both of them.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsu Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, so winding up Friday feedback, we're going to move on to Iowa.
That was a very interesting night, to say the least.
I fell asleep. I'm just going to be straight up. I fell asleep. I got too tired. I was like holding my phone. I did one of those where you like fall asleep and it falls back and hits you in the face. I did one of those and I thought, I'm just going to have to wake up and see what happens tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I hung in until a little bit before midnight and then remembered that I have, like, a job and a small child who's going to be up early and gave it up then. But I gave some impressions from the Republican side in an email to our listeners the next day. But I think people are very interested to hear your comments on the Democratic outcome.
Well, I think that I'm very happy with Hillary Clinton being the first woman to win the Iowa caucus. I think it's a win is a win. I think Iowa is one of the most white liberal contest out there. And if he couldn't blow her out of the water there like Obama did, like 8 points or something, then I think he's going to be in real trouble in more conservative Democratic primaries like South Carolina. I think that he'll do great in New Hampshire because he's from that area. And, but I don't think, I read somewhere and I thought it was 538 that Bernie needed to come out of the Iowa caucus was like twice the delegates she did, which obviously didn't happen because it was a tie. It was so close to a tie. And that was really going to hurt him the way he's trying to stack up against her because she has so many superdelegates. So I still don't think the numbers are in his favor. I think that really the coverage of this tie and this coin tossing thing people are obsessed with, I had to straight up step away. I was getting so angry and so frustrated with the way it was covered that, I mean, I think he did great. I'm not to take away from the hard work and the, you know, the passion of his young supporters. But I saw a 102-year-old lady talking about how she took herself to the polling place to vote for Hillary. She seemed pretty passionate too. So, and I'm clearly very passionate. So I'm happy with the results. I'm happy she won. I think she'll lose in New Hampshire. Not to anyone's surprise. Maybe she'll, I hope it's close. I think that would be really good for her. But then I just don't see how it continues past like South Carolina and stuff. I guess anything could happen, but I don't know.
To me, the story on the Democratic side out of Iowa is Iowa's relevance going forward and the sort of integrity of the process in Iowa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the coin toss. Man, people are upset. People are upset by the coin toss.
The coin toss, the superdelegates, the lack of voter registration forms, the staffing issues. The Des Moines Register today called for a complete audit of this process. And pointed out, look, Iowa, if we want to be important, mm-hmm. we have to be accurate and professional. And I think those are interesting points. And there, I think it's amazing that there's no formal process to contest the outcome of the caucus.
Yeah, that's
staggering.
Somebody was like, I think it was on NPR, they're like, you can't recount people in a corner. Like, it is what it is. Like, there's no, like, when Donald Trump saw, there's a fraud, we need to do it again. You really think you're going to get everybody back in the room to do it again? Like, it's not like, it's, you're not, we're not recounting, okay? People stand in a corner and yell at each other. Like, it's just not going to happen. I think I'm not opposed to Iowa and I'm not opposed to caucuses. I've said before, I really like that they have to go and talk to real people face to face. But, right, I think their process needs a little bit of work.
Well, I think the caucuses are fascinating, and I would love to participate in them, too. But I do think that how Iowa responds to what happened here, which was an extraordinary thing, and a good thing, I think, for the country. I think there is a big divide in the Democratic Party right now. And I think it was on full display. And I think that's healthy, whichever mm-hmm. of them come out of this. And I think it is likely to be her. But who knows? Whichever of them come out of this, they'll be a stronger candidate because mm-hmm. it was
that's
close.
That's definitely true.
So
it's just a generational thing. I feel like this is what parties do. Well, especially the Democratic Party. I feel like, you know, the next generation comes up and says, this isn't good enough. And pushes harder. And wants more. And all the old folkies like me say, you know, calm down. This is how it works. Get in line. And then just kind of fight it out.
I think it's good times. Generational. I think it is also very extraordinary to have, I guess it's not. I mean, if you go way, way back in history, but in recent history to have well, certainly the spouse of a president mm-hmm. running. But then, you know, Jeb Bush, I mean, we're just confronting sort of a weird political era.
Yeah.
I think it affects her, and I think it affects her particularly because of, like, the Clinton Global Initiative, and that there's just a lot swirling around her, and that's true of a lot of candidates, but I think it's different with her, and maybe it's just different because of the world that we live in, all the information that we have about
Well, and it's different because she is a woman, and her past is dealt with in a different way than a man's would be. Like, I read somebody, there was a piece that went around that was like, let me scream in all caps because Hillary can't. And this author was like, you would never, ever have a female candidate like Bernie Sanders. This crazy, wild-haired, grouchy grandma socialist. Never, 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 ever would that happen. Like, that. Just this idea. I mean, I just feel like that you have to acknowledge that her 20 years of politics comes with a lot, but so much of it is seen through the lens of her gender, and the way it's seen, the way it's portrayed, it's just so hard to detach what happened from how it was portrayed because she was a woman. Like, I was thinking about this today. Can you even fathom what it must have been like to be a working mother as the first lady of Arkansas in the 1970s? I can't fathom the crap you would get in Arkansas right now trying to be a working mom. In the 1970s? Like, I just can't even fathom. And when you hear her in the town hall say, I take criticism seriously but not personally. I've heard her say that before. And I mean, I just, the level of compartmentalization she's had to probably develop because of 20, 30 years of, dang, 40 if they were all the way back to the 70s, of just surviving and being a woman in this environment where there aren't a lot of women. And it was really interesting to go back to Kristen's email. She said something like, the primary proved to her last time that a woman could be in the White House. And I thought, that's not how I felt coming out of it. It felt like, you know, it didn't feel like, okay, we can do this. We got closer. It felt like, oh my God, are we ever going to actually get there? It was so discouraging and disheartening. And it's so funny that, you know, she said like, oh, it made it seem to me like, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. It's definitely not how I felt coming out of it. But sorry, I'm falling down my emotional hole again. Let's talk about the Republican results in Iowa. Marco Rubio won, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed like he was being inaugurated.
Yeah, he won. Yeah. Congratulations, Marco, on your win in Iowa.
No one has ever been so excited about third place. And this, to me, is a great example of my issue with Marco Rubio, which I don't think there's any there. I think he is a talented guy. I think he is super good at this process. Like, I think he is slick. I think he managed expectations beautifully in Iowa so that his third place could be a gold medal for him. I don't like it. And, you know, he's been running around New Hampshire today telling the same jokes that he told in Iowa. He never goes off script. As I said in our email, maybe I end up having to vote for him as the Republican nominee, but I'm not going to be excited about it. I'm not going to lie. So Ted Cruz wins, and I'm pretty exhausted from all the Ted Cruz on my television. It makes me feel like I need a shower constantly.
I don't like his face.
This is where I lose my nuance. I can't with Ted Cruz.
It's allowed if we both lost our nuance about somebody. I feel like there's no nuance to be had if both of us are like, ugh. I do. Well, I feel like we're safe.
Let us invite audience feedback. So if you are a Ted Cruz supporter, I would like you to help me understand. I genuinely would. And I'm not saying that to be nasty. No. I genuinely do not understand the Ted Cruz appeal, especially as I'm watching him with this populist message and remembering that he is Ivy League educated, married to a Goldman Sachs executive. This is not an outsider. I don't get it. So if you want to help me understand that, I will engage with you respectfully. Today, I'm struggling with it. So
we really just dislike Ted Cruz. I don't have a beef with Ted Cruz supporters necessarily. I don't know them any that well. So whereas I have the opposite problem with Bernie. Sometimes it's the Bernie supporters that upset me when I don't have a real beef with Bernie. But yeah, I just, with Ted Cruz, Oh, he's so, I think, and also it's not as strong with Marco Rubio, but there's both of them when they talk just feel very swarmy to me. Just very like, I'm saying what you want to hear. Everybody have fun with me saying what you want to hear.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, I cannot believe how young you look, and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off. There's not much worse than a dry and itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
So I mentioned also in the email that I sent out that Donald Trump's speech was very gracious, which was a shocking thing for me. I said that Donald Trump was gracious and appropriate. That only lasted about 30 seconds.
I was fixing to say, he went right back on that. When that came out that he was like, it's a fraud, do it again. I go, there's the Donald Trump we've all come to know and love. We wondered where you were.
People who haven't been following this, Trump gives a very short speech following the results from the Republican side coming out. And he's basically like, look, I've loved Iowa. Maybe I'll buy a farm here someday. I think you people are great. On to New Hampshire. I didn't spend much money or time here because everyone said I didn't have a chance. So to come in second's pretty good. You know, the end. Here we go. It was very conventional in a lot of ways, which was surprising. And it seemed mature. Well, then the next day, this story comes out about how the Ted Cruz campaign learned from a CNN reporter that Ben Carson was leaving Iowa to go to Florida, and where his home is, I guess. The Cruz campaign sends out some communications that insinuate that Ben Carson is dropping out of the race. Mm. Ben Carson's campaign then very bizarrely and in such
he was getting close.
True Ben Carson fashion.
Fresh clothes.
He needed a change of clothes.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what to say about that. But the Ted Cruz people insinuated that he was dropping out of the race. And then Trump has this epic, well, not epic really for Trump, like, characteristic.
Just regular old.
Trump
yeah,
temper tantrum, old. Which Ted Cruz did give us the phrase Trumper tantrum from this, and that's a pretty good one. But then Donald Trump responds and is like, that's pretty funny, I should trademark it, so I gotta give him that too. So he has a tantrum about how we should redo the whole process because of this fraud by Ted Cruz. I think it would have been much smarter of Donald Trump to simply tweet, you know, he's the master of Twitter, tweet a link to the story about the Cruz fraud, because his campaign had to apologize. They admitted that they screwed up on this.
Who, Cruz's?
Yes.
So they apologized about that, but not the mailer they sent that was like, your voter?
The voter violation.
Like these really official looking things telling people they had to come to the caucus because they didn't have enough like voter points. They were unapologetic about that, but they're apologizing about the other thing.
That's right. And that mailer listed people's neighbors and gave them voting grades based on their past participation. No, the Cruz campaign stands by that. And they say that is a tried and true technique. Social pressure works. They aren't wrong.
Right, but it's lying?
Right. It doesn't make it.
Was the lying problem?
You know, the fact that it was effective doesn't mean it's wise or an act of integrity. And I think that's the problem. But they did apologize about insinuating that Ben Carson was dropping out of the campaign.
Interesting.
They sort of blamed CNN for it, which was pretty ridiculous and false also. Anyway, if I were Donald Trump, that's not something I think about often. If I were Donald Trump, I would have tweeted a link to the story about the apology and just said something short like, what a typical politician, right? And left it at that.
Yeah.
And I think if he had done something just a tiny bit more subtle, not even subtle, but like moving in the subtle direction of the spectrum, that he would have come across entirely differently and had a very positive spin in the news cycle.
Yeah,
going into New Hampshire. I don't know what's going to happen in New Hampshire from this.
It's only 5 days away. I was just looking. We're recording on Thursday night. It's only 5 days away.
Everyone Crazy. Has anointed Marco Rubio. I really hope that we have a strong finish from one of the governors. And at this point, I'm hopeful that that'll be Jeb Bush. But I'll be fine if it's not.
You'll take any governor.
I'll take a governor. I don't have the passion that you have about any particular candidate, obviously. I want someone who knows what he's doing and is reasonable and can, as you said, the president is reactive to crises. I would like someone who I trust to some extent to react to crises in a responsible way. So I'm hopeful that New Hampshire brings somebody out. I mean, Cruz is so well-funded that he's not going down in New Hampshire. Cruz is going to be in through the SEC primaries. That's not going to be true of everybody else. I think Jeb Bush could go the distance in terms of funding. Certainly Trump can hang around as long as he chooses to hang around. Everybody else is going to need some momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, we've already lost Rand Paul, which makes me sad ahead of the Saturday night debate because I do think he's so good in debates. We've said that before. We've lost Rick Santorum now. I'm less sad about that. Mike Huckabee's out. So at least the
not
field is narrowing.
Not
surprising to me that Carly Fiorina is still in. I
me
think
too.
That's, I don't know where her money is coming from, but I am surprised that she didn't quit after Iowa. If you think, you talk about disappointment, the number of hours that woman has spent in Iowa, and she has. She answers every question. She hangs around. She doesn't restrict access to the press from what I've seen. To only come away with, what was it, one delegate? That just has to be crushing.
Well, did you see the thing about how Jeb Bush basically paid $25,000? I don't know if it was a vote or delegate, how much money he spent.
I thought it was like $5,200 a vote. I don't know.
Must have been a delegate.
I did see that chart.
Oof.
And it They have had a strange strategy, though. They poured money in, then they kind of said, no, we're going to focus on New Hampshire, and then they put more money in. I feel like Right to Rise just has more money than it knows what to do with, and so there's not a real focused strategy. I'm not going to repeat myself too much. I'm just frustrated with the people running Jeb Bush's campaign. They have a better candidate than they're letting the world see, and it makes me really mad. But excited to see what happens in New Hampshire. We've got a lot of stuff happening between now and then, so after we wrap this session up, we're going to watch and live tweet the Democratic debate. And then we've got a Republican debate on Saturday, and a new show coming up next week that I'm pretty excited about,
too. Oh, y'all, this show. Get excited. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
We have a very special guest. That's your teaser. A very, very special guest.
A guest that I will just say, when this person agreed to come on our show, I felt like I had died and gone to heaven.
Yeah, it felt a little, it felt very special. I need another word.
Surreal.
It was surreal. Yeah, surreal. Surreal. All right, but we're not going to tell you anything more because y'all have to listen. Ha ha ha. So thank you to my husband, Nicholas, for always producing our podcast and being so great. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And as always, keep it nuanced, y'all.